Without You, which is the single from Teek's forthcoming debut album, Te Karehana Gardener Toy, a.k.a. Teek's. He's nearing the end of a sellout tour, the Invitation Tour, last shows today. His debut EP, The Grapefruit Skies, set him on the path to soul success in 2017. He won Best Māori Artist at that year's Vodafone New Zealand Music Awards. He has a full album due for release in February. It's going to be called Something to Feel. I asked Teek's how the tour's gone.
Really good, really good. I've been really enjoying it. We're almost finished. Our last show is up in Hokianga, ending it up in my hometown. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
You're doing a couple of shows in the Hokianga, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing a couple of shows. So doing the matinee and then the evening show. So back to back, pretty much. So I'm a bit anxious, but hopefully it goes well.
Well, you'd have to do a couple of shows because there'd be the entire population of Hokianga will be turning out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the venues are a bit smaller than all the rest. So yeah.
Actually, Opononi Hokianga featured in the video of that song Without You.
Yes, it did.
Who's in there?
In the video?
Yeah.
A few different features. You know, I try to get the community involved. So there are some school kids in there from the local area school. Also my sister is in the clip, and my nephew.
That's your sister and the baby.
Yeah, cool. That's my sister and little Fiti and Uncle Bill Matthews, who's the older Karawa in there. He's well known in the community. So, yeah, it was cool to have everyone involved.
Not your mum and dad?
Not my mum and dad. No, even though they tried to get in.
Did they?
they always joke about it, but I don't know if they've been serious or not.
And you got five brothers and sisters, right?
I do, yeah. I have five brothers and sisters, yeah.
Are most of them, are all of them still in the Hokianga?
No, just one. So my elder sister is up there, and she works with my dad. She's a teacher. They both work at the school. Yeah, and the rest are kind of all over the place.
It'll be a lovely thing giving a couple of shows up there. All your shows have been sold out, haven't they?
Yes. It's pretty, I'm very, very, very fortunate.
Well, you should have put more on, right?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Well, we initially were going to do more shows and then we had to kind of rejig some of the dates because of a few different reasons, and it just came up so quick and we decided at the end of the day we'll just go with one show per town and kind of, just
leave them wanting more.
Yeah. that's pretty much, create a bit of demand there, and then next year we'll lead in after post-album, we'll do another bigger tour with bigger venues and, hopefully people will come through again.
You've been working on this album, ever since Grapefruit Skies.
Yes. So after 2017, is when I released the Grapefruit Skies EP, and, during that time I was still writing and, for a year and a bit, continued to write. And last year was the kind of majority of the recording in terms of, recording the songs in studio and all came together towards the end of last year.
Well, you've been busy as well, right? I mean, the reason it's taken so long is because you've been busy touring and performing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually done too many shows until the tour started last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the last show I'd done before starting the tour was like back in March last year when I did the APO show at the Town Hall.
That was huge.
Yeah, it was pretty big and pretty significant for me. I've always wanted to play at the Town Hall. And also, having the orchestra on stage with me was pretty special.
That was your first headline show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It's kind of weird because people do think you've been around forever. And yet here comes effectively your first album and only your first headline show last year.
Yeah.
It feels like you're an old soul.
Becky, I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, it is a compliment. It's a long way from the reggae band at school.
yeah, it is. It is a long way away. I've grown and matured a lot since high school, and you know, kind of found myself and my sound. And
what are you now? 27.
I'm 27 now. Yeah, well, just turned 27 in October.
No, really grown up. Do you think?
Yeah, I am. I do feel like I'm growing up.
Wow. But I tell you what, in 10 years' time, you'll look back on yourself and you'll think, I wasn't even grown up then.
No, yeah.
And then it goes and then it goes and then it goes.
No,
you realise you're never grown up.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm wondering if I'm ever actually going to feel like an adult, you know?
Never.
Never.
I'm still amazed. I drive a car and I still think, oh my God, they're allowing me to drive a car.
Yeah.
What does your family call you?
My immediate family, just
yeah.
Oh, they Te Karehano or TK, but they hardly ever call me by my name.
What?
So, like, just my mum's always calls me son, so so does my dad.
So they don't call you Tix?
Not really, they don't.
When did you discover soul was your thing?
I was studying music in 2013 here in Auckland.
At Unitec, yeah?
At Unitec, yes. Uh-huh. And
are you still teaching Te Reo Māori at Unitec?
I've finished up, and when things took off, I decided to leave. But I miss it. I miss being around the language as much as
just
I did.
Just tell me this: the people you were teaching, were they Pākehā and Māori?
Yes. It was it was a mix of, you know, people all different walks of life and ethnicities, and which was really cool, you know, for me to observe and see that, all these different people wanting to come and learn Te Reo Māori, and they were all, you know, adults. I never thought I'd become a teacher or work in education.
Well, chip off the old blocks, right?
Yeah.
Both your parents are teachers, huh?
Yes. Well, they both work in education. My dad's a principal and my mum was a principal, and now she works as a Māori principal's advisor, and she just travels around.
So do they say to you, look, if this music business doesn't work out?
My mum tried to, before I kind of got started, she was like, you know, there are some teaching scholarships if you want to go that way. I'm like, nah, I think I'm good.
So you did your music diploma at Unitec.
Mm.
And then you got involved in Pau Pau Pau.
Yes.
Which is exactly what?
So Pau 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 is a Māori mentoring program, and it was founded by the late Dr. Hirini Melbourne. And basically it's, I guess, a wananga, a program that lasts maybe a month, if that. So it's spread out across 4 or 5 weekends. You kind of have to apply to get in, and then they have an intake of about 10 to 15 aspiring Māori artists, and we were mentored by established Māori artists, including Maisie Rika, Tama Waipara, Rob Ruha, Seth Hapu, you know, all those people that I looked up to growing up in school. So that was a turning point in my journey. I feel like, you know, if I never went through that, I don't know if things would have worked out like they did.
Why was it so formative for you? Was it networking, or was it seeing other people doing it?
Yeah, a bit of both. I think definitely the relationships were, you know, the most valuable, and meeting, you know, some of my idols, and then kind of being Māori, it's we have a value system to a kanatena, which is like mentor mentees, and you know, it's that sharing of knowledge between the mentor and the mentee, or the tuakana and the teina. And so having those, you know, those people who are prolific in the Māori music industry mentor you, and also just encourage you and give you props, because, you know, that meant a lot to me at the time, and they believed in me, and they kind of took me on, you know, even after the program finished and after it ended, they, you know, we had that point of contact, and they continued to to guide me, and they still do to this day. So I'm very grateful for that.
Look, they must have thought you had potential for some reason.
Yeah,
oh.
yeah.
I think it was Tama Waipara who hooked you up with a New York producer.
Yes.
For Grapefruit Skies, was it?
Yes, he did. That was 2016. We went to New York, and he knew a producer over in New York. His name is Jeremy Most. And he is, I'm not sure if you know Emily King. She's a singer-songwriter based over there. Yeah. So he produces her work, and he's close friends with both of them. And they kind of he linked us together and organized, you know, for me to go over and record some songs. And he put us in touch via email first, and we had just been bouncing back and forth, and I sent him a couple of tracks. And that was that, really, and I flew over with Tama.
What tracks did you send him?
If Only and Change, which are both on the EP, yeah.
I mean, If Only, do you think that's your people's favourite so far?
I think out of that, it's definitely a popular song.
It's got the hook.
Yeah, it's got the hook, especially, you know, in regards to that project. And I feel like personally, at that time, I was still very young, and I was still, I guess, finding my voice. And I feel like this period in between, you know, right up till now, I feel like I've grown and matured so much. And my sound is, I feel like it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more developed in terms of my lyrical content and the way that I like to tell a story.
Right. You're not talking about your voice. You're talking about the lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, the musicality. When I sent If Only over, that was, you know, Jeremy, when he heard that, he kind of checked the song, and I had arrived in New York, and the song was already checked, and I basically just got in the booth and sung the vocal. And that was, you know, it was so quick and easy. And we worked on Change together in the studio. But I feel like, you know, that just at that point in my life, I was still figuring things out, and I was young. And I feel like now I'm much more aware and conscious of the type of music I want to make. And
you could do a whole range of music. Do you, and people do this, switch around. Do you think that soul is going to be your thing?
Yeah, I definitely feel like soul music allows me to express myself, you know, the best way that I can. And, you know, in saying that, I feel like soul music as a genre is so complex, and
it's pretty elastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it can mean, like, you know, I mean, what is soul music? It's so many different things, and I love that fact. But I feel like it's got so many branches, and if I can make music that really comes from my heart and from my soul, then I feel like that's what it is.
I'm talking to Teeks, aka Te Karehana Gardner Toy. You have the word surrender tattooed on your neck.
I do.
Can you tell me why?
Yeah, so for me, this happened a few months ago. I decided to get the tattoo, but surrender was a significant word, and some people might see it or hear it, and it might come with some negative connotations. But for me, it's a positive affirmation, and it's basically about acceptance and surrendering to the process, surrendering to the present moment, and surrendering to, you know, my emotions and my feelings, and surrendering to any situation that's happening in my life, because I feel like I just needed the reminder, because, you know, sometimes things can get a bit hectic, and I felt like having something that I could see every day when I wake up would help me. And I just felt like, you know, yeah, having that reminder, just, you know, surrender and accept what's happening in the best way, because I feel like when you're able to do that, you can move past, like, the feeling of, it's, you know, it's not feeling defeated, it's accepting what's happening and doing something about it, or, you know, having affirmative action. And
is it connected to, I mean, this is what the publicity
yeah
stuff says.
Yes.
It says, that you're interested in rejection of colonial notions of masculinity.
Mm.
Is it connected with that?
Yeah. So what I've done, and I've split the album, and because we're releasing the album in parts and in three, I guess, installments. And
yeah.
The first installment was, and this is only, I titled them internally, so it wasn't, they weren't titled online, you know, through the music platforms, but internally I had titled the first chapter The Invitation, and that was, I guess, my way of inviting people or giving people permission to be in touch with their emotions. And I used symbolisms a lot. I used water and I used the ocean.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, there's a lot of watery stuff going on.
yeah, and I guess for me, I felt like water was the best way to symbolize emotion and being able to tell my story. The surrender is kind of the second phase, and, you know, once you've entered the ocean or the water, surrendering to that process, you know, that process of growth and transformation, because surrendering allows you, you know, allows that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Number three?
Number three is the reveal, and that's, you know, when you kind of reach, that's when all the pieces amalgamate into one thing and you reach the final form. And so that's the album when it comes out in its entirety.
Have you been doing a lot of, spiritual work on yourself?
Mm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I try to, you know, I feel like I definitely try to give myself space to work, you know, internally and do the inner work, because I feel like it's so important. And there's meditation, and I try meditating.
How's that going?
It's going okay. I feel like I'm still working on, you know, making a habitual thing and putting it, you know, making a big part of my routine, because it's easy to just slip in and out of that when things get busy. So
yeah.
I'm still getting there. But I do feel like it helps, you know, when I can find the time to do it and just be still for a moment and just spend time on my own. But I think, you know, spirituality is such a innate, you know, an intrinsic part of who I am as a person and my culture and te ao Māori, you know, because spirituality is a big thing. So I feel like it's something I've always been aware of and conscious of since, you know, forever.
Were you brought up with it? You breathed it?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's the way we see the world is we acknowledge, you know, the physical world and the spiritual world. So it's something I've always known in terms of the way we interact with nature and with people and having that, yeah, relationship with our gods and, yeah, the spiritual realm. Yeah, I feel grateful that I have that.
Do you write in Te Reo songs?
I have. I've written in Te Reo Māori. It's not something I do often. I feel like I've grown up speaking Māori, and I've been to Kohanga Reo and I've been to Kura Kaupapa. But coming, I'm leaving Kura and then going into more mainstream, you know, unit. With a bilingual unit, is even that in itself is a big difference. And even coming to Auckland, you know, and not having been around as much as I used to when I was young, I feel like I'm still on my journey in terms of getting to a level with reo, with my reo, that I would feel confident and, you know, strong enough to to be able to compose into the Māori, because, you know, there are people out there like Rob Ruha and those guys who they are prolific in terms of writing and composing into the Māori. And, you know, one day I hope to get to that stage, but I feel like I'm still working towards that. And I write whatever comes out, and at the moment its majority is in English. Yeah, and saying that, I feel like the songwriting process, whenever I write, as being a second language speaker, I feel like it's almost an advantage, because Te Reo Māori is such a poetic and metaphoric language that I can kind of pull on those principles and the way that I write in English.
Soul is soul music is by its nature kind of yearning, and most of your songs, no criticism intended, is they're about unrequited love and dashed hopes and if only and remember me and without you, you know, it's they're tearful things. You're only 27. How much sadness have you experienced in your life? I mean, I'm not saying that you can't have, but have you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I definitely, you know, for whatever reason, I gravitate towards the more somber emotions when I write, and I feel like that's when I tap into that part of myself, that's the most powerful way I can write and express myself in terms of, you know, because you're right there, you know, majority of my songs are quite sad.
Yes.
But there's something very, I don't know, there's something very cathartic about, you know, just the writing process in itself and, you know, kind of really going through those emotions and compacting it all into one song and, you know, being able to release that in that way, because I'm growing up, I wasn't always the most expressive person in terms of, you know, showing my emotions, or I just don't know. I never cried that much, and it's sad. I feel like if I was able to, then I would feel like it would help a lot better with everything that was inside me. But I feel like the music that I make is
making other people cry. Thank you very much. It's your service to the world.
yeah. But I feel like it's a you know, even though there's that pain and that suffering, there's also the healing aspect of that, you know, because writing sad songs and even listening to sad songs, when I listen to, I have like a playlist of just sad songs I like.
Oh, sure. They're very companionable.
Yeah, they are.
Absolutely. Are your mum and dad worried about you in the music industry? Are you worried about you in the music industry, which can be fairly brutal? And you're trying hard to, you know, keep calm and safe space for yourself. Do you think you're going to have to really work quite hard at that?
I think I've never really been worried about it in the early stages of my career, because I just felt so strongly about, you know, my aspirations and what I wanted to do, and I kind of accepted everything that came with the job early on. I think, you know, now things have started to pick up a bit more, and I've become more aware of, you know, the importance of keeping space and having that time to just keep myself grounded you know, also just being able to have that space, because it can get, you know, quite full on sometimes. And I know my parents, you know, they worry more than anyone else, and they worry more than me. They probably, you know, stress me out more than but that's because they love me and they see, you know, because, you know, being an artist and being in the public eye, you just there's,
what do they worry most pressures about?
I guess just my well-being.
drugs.
No, I think I don't think they're. I think I think they know me quite well, and they know
what drugs you're on.
They trust my decisions, and I mean, I'm an adult, and I do.
Look, for your parents, you'll never be grown up.
I understand that, I feel like I'm still trying to convince them otherwise. But
and do you get back to Hokianga very often?
As often as I can. I haven't been back in a little while just because I've been so busy. But when I get a spare moment, you know, a weekend or a week, then I'll go back home because I just love being there. Eh? It's the most majestic place I think, you know, on earth, and it's so peaceful and still. And I go home to kind of recharge myself, and yeah, I'm looking forward to heading back up.
Are you going to be staying there after the show's on for a while?
I wish I could, but I got to come back. So, come back probably on Sunday. I'm actually in the middle of moving house, so I'm gonna do the show and then, you know, spend the night there and then come back on Sunday and finish moving.
Personal question: have you bought a house in Auckland?
No. I wish I could say yes, but
yeah, don't we all?
That's kind of where I have to move because of the house that I was staying in got sold. And I just, you know, I'm not in a place where I can afford to buy it.
No. Tell me about the video. We'll play Remember Me, and this is the first video that you have directed.
Yeah.
Was that a good experience?
Yes. When we finally arrived, you know, to the day of shooting, it was the most, like, I loved every moment, every minute of it. Leading up to it, though, I was incredibly stressed out because I wasn't sure if I had made the right decision, and I wasn't sure, you know, if I trusted myself to do a good enough job, or if I even, you know, if I had the capacity to do a good enough job.
Oh, for God's sake, pull yourself together now.
I know,
do you go through the self-doubt constantly?
I think it's unavoidable, especially if I'm working on something that I'm new to, like, you know, directing was something I've never done before, and I know nothing about cameras or any of the technical aspects of you know, what it takes to shoot a video. I had vision.
Where was it shot? Where's that? Is it a warehouse or something?
We shot it at Corbin's Estate out west Auckland in Henderson. And it's an arts centre, really, and they have a lot of different spaces, including warehouses and just interesting-looking spaces. And I felt that it would be ideal to shoot there because we had a lot of options to work with, and it was close by. And
who's the dancer?
The dancer, her name is Hannah Morris, and she's incredible. And I felt very lucky to have her on set and to have her be part of the video. You know, I had never met her before, but Mia, our producer, found her and sent me her Instagram page, and I had a look through some of her stuff, and I was like, oh, she's amazing. And yeah, so we sent her a message, and she was keen, and that was that, yeah.